Welcome to the College of Psychic Studies evening lectures. Tonight, Tuesday, the 5th of December 2006, we welcome back Martin Brofman with a talk entitled Colour, the Language of Consciousness. Martin Brofman healed himself of terminal cancer 30 years ago. He subsequently evolved the body mirror system of healing and has taught it to many worldwide as a technique for healing themselves and others. Understanding the relationship between the chakras and consciousness is a fundamental aspect of Martin's teaching.
I'm going to be talking tonight about colors as they relate to chakras. I would like to know, are there any of you who are not so familiar with chakras and what they are and what they represent? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, a few. So I'll begin with an explanation of the chakras and then how they relate to color and then into the language of the color. And then I will take you on a trip through your chakras so you'll be able to see what's going on inside there and understand what you see. So, I work with the idea that we are each a consciousness, and when I talk about consciousness here, I'm talking about everything that is possible for you to experience. And all of that is divided into seven categories. And each portion of your consciousness, then, is associated with one of these energy centers called chakras. The chakras are not physical, they're aspects of your consciousness, in the same way that the auras are aspects of your consciousness. So I'm working with healing, and when someone needs a healing, something has gone out of balance. So you're inside there, and things happen around you. And as things happen around you, you decide how to respond. You decide what to think, and you decide what to feel, and you decide which chakra to see the situation through. When you feel tension about what is happening around you, you feel the tension in a particular place. In fact, you feel it in the chakra associated with the part of your consciousness that has to do with the way you're seeing what you're seeing. So that sounds pretty abstract. So I would like to take you through a brief experience of what I'm talking about. So I'm going to ask you to think about something that you don't feel good about. I'm going to ask you to think about some situation that is not a happy situation, or some interaction, or some event, something that you don't really feel good about, something that you feel tension about. And as you think about that situation and you feel whatever you feel about it, I would ask you to decide what part of your body do you feel? Where do you feel the tension? And if you had to draw a circle around that part of the body, how big would the circle be? And if you were to imagine a color in the circle, what color would you imagine? And what words would you use to describe the sensations that you feel? Could you describe it as resistance to the flow of energy through that part? If you're imagining yourself as a channel for the flow of energy, a place where you're tightening against it, and if you resist the flow of energy, then you can remove the resistance and you can consciously relax the place that you have been holding tight. And as you do that, you can feel that part opening, loosening up, and relaxing, until you again experience yourself as a clear channel for the flow of energy. Just feel yourself opening more and more to it. So, the next interesting question is, where did you feel the tension? Because where you felt the tension depended upon why you felt the tension. So, if you felt the tension in front of the base of your spine, then I would say the tension had something to do with security, survival, trust. If you felt the tension at the level of the abdomen, the tension had something to do with food or sex. If you felt it at the level of the solar plexus, the tension had something to do with power, control, freedom. If you felt it at the level of the heart, the tension had something to do with the area of relationships in your life and your perceptions of love. If you felt it at the base of your throat, then I would say the tension was there because you didn't express what you wanted to. If the tension was there at the level of your forehead or the temples, I would say it was because you didn't feel seen for who you are, but rather for the role that you're in. And if you felt the tension on the top of your head, it was because you were feeling separate when you wanted to feel connected. Does what I have described talk to you? Does it make sense to you? If it talks to you, then I would say you have been feeling your chakras. You have always been able to feel your chakras, though you may not have been taught to look at your experiences in that way. You've been taught to look at yourself as a collection of organs, and when you have felt something in a certain place, you've been taught to think of what organ has been involved and what outer solution do you need to take care of the problem, instead of what part of your consciousness has tension that needs to be resolved in order for you to return to your natural experience of wholeness. So what you've seen, I would say, through your experience, is that when you feel tension in a particular place, well, when you feel tension about a particular thing, you feel it in a particular place, depending upon the reason for the tension. So the chakras, then, are showing you something about the nature of your consciousness. And some people say that's what we're here for, that's all we're here for, is to understand our consciousness. And as I'm working with chakras, the chakras to me also represent a sense of evolution from the physical to the spiritual. So each chakra is associated with a particular body. Your root chakra, I would say, is associated with your physical body, your relationship with your physical body. Your second chakra is related to your emotional body, your willingness to feel your emotions. Your solar plexus chakra is your mental body. Your heart chakra is associated with the astral body, and the throat chakra with the etheric body. Your brow chakra with what we call the buddhic body, and the crown chakra with what we call the causal body or the soul. This is my map of consciousness. So as we're moving up the chakras, if we look at these outer circles here, those are representing your levels of experience. So your outermost level of experience is your physical body. And as you open, you drop inside to your emotional body. And as you drop in more, as you open more, you go to your mental body, then your astral body, your etheric body, your buddhic body, and then your causal body. So as we're going up the chakras, we're going to deeper and deeper parts of our consciousness. So for me, that represents, in fact, an evolution. We can say the evolution of your soul. As I understand it, our main reason for being here, the main reason for our movie, is to understand our consciousness and the evolution of our soul. And if that's the main purpose of the movie, then everything in the movie has to be about that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the movie. That's how they make movies. So we look around ourselves and we ask ourselves, what else is it that represents a series of seven vibrations in a logical and orderly sequence? And can we relate that then to the chakras? The chakras, we're told, are each related to a particular element. So the root chakra is earth. Then we have water, fire, air, ether, the inner sound, and the inner light. Increasing levels of subtlety, or more and more subtle, more and more light, as we go up. So if we take a look at the visible spectrum, and we put the longest wavelength on the bottom, the red, and the shortest wavelength on the top, the violet, we see that we're able to associate each color with a chakra in its clear state. And for me, that represents a state of balance. This is the model of wholeness that I use in healing. When I'm looking at somebody's energy field in a healing, when I'm looking inside, this is the picture that I would like to see. When I see this, then to me, that person is in balance for who they are and for where they are in their evolution. It's not an absolute scale that we're imposing on someone, but always relative to who this person is. So this is a representation. If we're looking at each chakra as having an ideal state, if you wish, we could indicate that with a needle that moves at plus and minus, too little, too much. Mm-hmm. Or some people would use a language of spinning this direction or that direction, or faster or slower or not spinning, and each difference would say something about the condition of that chakra. So when I say this is a representation, if something could be represented by a chakra spinning in a certain direction or at a certain speed, then that same condition can be represented by a color. And this would be the person's natural state of balance. I'd like to tell you about a healing I did one time. I was living with a woman in Denmark, and she told me one day she wasn't feeling good, and would I give her a healing? Of course, I agreed. And as I started the healing and looked into her chakras, I knew this woman pretty well, but those chakras did not say anything about this woman that I knew. So I said, well, I'm seeing these chakras, and I may not change what I see because of what I know. I have to see what I see, but if they're not her chakras, whose are they? And then I got a picture of a friend of mine who had an ashram in New York, one of the orange people, and I said, what are you doing here? You know, and he said, well, I'm wanting a healing. I said, okay, so I started to do the healing in the way that I do it. I was starting to put red in the root chakra, and he was asking, what are you doing? And I said, I'm putting your chakra in its ideal state, in its balanced state. And he asked, how do you know when it's in its ideal state? And I said, when I see a clear red ball of energy, then I am seeing it in its ideal state, in its natural state. And he said, but when I see it in its natural state, it doesn't look like that. It looks like something with four petals and an elephant and a Sanskrit letter. And I said, that's okay. When I'm looking through my lens and I'm seeing a clear red ball of energy, when you look at it through your lens, you're going to see something with four petals and a Sanskrit letter and an elephant. So he was satisfied with that. And so I continued the healing. The woman that I was with felt better, and who knows whether it was just something I was running in my mind. But a few months later, I went back to the United States, and I went to visit the ashram, and he came over to me to greet me, and the first words that he said were, thanks for the healing. Okay. So I say this is a representation. It's not an absolute yardstick that we're using on someone. So if we're talking about the second chakra, for example, we're saying the natural color is orange. It should be orange. So if somebody comes to me for healing, and this person likes to have sex three or four times a day, if I look at the orange chakra and it's orange, the only thing I can say is, that works for you, keep doing it. That's balance for who you are. If somebody else comes in and they like to have sex once every month or two, but if I look in the orange, it's orange, again, the only thing that I can say is, that works for you, you keep doing it. That's balance for who you are. So we're talking about a relative state of balance for each individual, for who they are and for where they are in their evolution. The feeling you have about particular colors is telling you something about the feeling that you have about a particular part of your consciousness. The colors that you feel resistance to, I would ask about those parts of your consciousness that color represents and how you feel about that area in your life. If somebody doesn't like the color green, I would say, okay, what's going on in the area of relationship? Well, funny you should ask. Okay. When someone has an affinity for a particular color, they want to bring that color into their energy field because that's what they need. That's they need to have something in that chakra clarified for themselves. What? Any questions so far?
It seems to be the same color for me over and over again that I want, like a food. So that means that a situation is not being healed then.
Yes. What color, for example,
orange.
Do you want?
Orange.
Okay.
It.
Yes. Well, that's good. It's not a problem if you love it. Okay. But there's an emphasis on that color. And in terms of our chakras, that's about your relationship with food and sex. So either that's just something you really, really appreciate, or that's something that you need. When I talk about this as an evolution, I say you're outside this structure, and things happen, and you have to decide how to see the situation that happens around you. You decide what chakra to see through, how to feel about this thing, what to think about this thing. So that means somewhere you're outside and deciding which chakra to come into, okay? So, in fact, you're not really outside, but you're located in one chakra. There's one chakra that's, I can say, your home for at least a certain part of your life. That's representing your primary motivating force in life. So, if someone is motivated primarily by security or survival, if that's the reason why they make decisions, then I would say that person is living in the root chakra. And then from that chakra, they visit the other chakras depending upon what's happening in any moment. And perhaps at a particular time in their life, they get complete with that. They've learned the lesson about security, and they change their primary motivating force, the reason why they do things, and they can move up to the next chakra. So if we're talking about sex, for example, maybe someone is very highly charged sexually, but so insecure about it because of the values with which they've been raised, so they hold themselves back. And then for some reason, it makes no more sense to do that. And they've got to just live their fantasy and live their dream, and now they have a different motivating force in life. So they've moved their home. And when they move their home, they're looking out through a different perceptual filter. Things make sense in a whole different way. And it seems from the middle of this bubble, this perceptual filter that they have to see through no matter what direction they look, it seems like everybody else is motivated by the same thing. So when you're in a sexy mood, everybody is motivated by sex, right? And then the next step in the evolution maybe is into freedom and what freedom is. But then everybody is out for freedom. It looks like everybody is motivated by the same thing. But it represents an evolution as you move from one chakra to another. And when I say your perceptions change, the whole world looks different. Have you seen the movie Coyote Ugly?
No.
No? Okay. Well, the reason they call it Coyote Ugly is about how different things might look the next morning when you look at the head on the pillow next to yours that's on top of your arm, and you'd rather chew off your arm than wake up that person, you know, because it looks so different. That's why they call it Coyote Ugly, because there's a shift in perceptions. It's a different chakra the person is looking through. So all of a sudden, everything looks different. The whole world looks different. And it continues to be an evolution towards what continues to feel better and better. So what feels better than freedom, love, move up into the heart chakra until you're just so filled with that. What feels better than that? Expressing it, doing something with it. Okay, what feels better than that? Getting down into the spiritual levels, understanding the spiritual nature of your being. And what feels better than that? Unity. So as you're in each chakra, and each chakra is your home, from there, you're moving around to the other chakras, depending on what's going on for you in that moment. Okay, sometimes it's a bit difficult to move from one chakra to another. So if I can just talk a little bit about another sequence of seven vibrations, is what? The notes of the musical scale. How many notes are there in an octave? Seven, actually, yeah. A trick question. The musical scale, in fact, each of the musical notes has a precise mathematical relationship to the other notes. It's a mathematical progression. And in this mathematical progression, there are two places it does something different. That's between mi and fa, and between ti and the first do of the next octave. So we can use each note to represent the chakra in its clear state, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And these places where there is something different happening in the mathematical progression, there's a shift in register, and it's what Gurdjieff calls a shock point in the evolution of the individual. So the shock point here between the solar plexus and the heart, this has to do with how the person has been living the aspect of the solar plexus chakra. Solar plexus chakra can be about freedom, or the solar plexus chakra can be about control. If the person has been living the aspect of control and they want to move up to the heart chakra, the aspect of acceptance, from control to acceptance, they have to go through letting go. That's not such an easy thing for some people to do. It's like a story about the man who's hanging from a cliff, holding on to a root, and there's a mouse chewing on the root, and it's a long way down, and he gets suddenly religious. And he says, "Oh God, please help me, save me, tell me what to do. I really do believe in you. I always have. Tell me what to do." The voice answers him, "Let go of the root. Is there someone else up there I can talk to?" So if the person has made the decision to evolve, to move up more into the heart chakra, but they're holding on to control, then things go more and more out of control until it takes a shock. It can be a physical shock, it can be an emotional shock, something that obliges the person to let go of control and open to acceptance. From the solar plexus chakra, it can seem to the person as though the world is coming to an end, there's imminent destruction, everything is flying apart. And then when they make the move, when they open to acceptance, and they see themselves from the level of the heart chakra, they can look back and see how all the pain and all the discomfort that they felt was in relation to how much they were holding on to control. So they see themselves with compassion. So that's one of the shock points in the individual evolution. When an individual is going through this, and it's a particularly rough passage, sometimes we describe it as a mental breakdown or a nervous breakdown. The person's mental processes break down. They're in the middle of chaos, confusion, things don't make sense anymore. And that tells me where the person is. They're just in the middle of these two chakras. And for me, the best way to deal with that is not to bring them back into the solar plexus chakra, but to help them through to the next chakra. And when I've worked with people who are doing this, one was telling me, I want to die. And I said, go for it. Afterwards, we'll compare notes. What? And she just let herself go. And she was out for a few seconds, and then she woke up her eyes and she sat up, a different person. You know, I feel so enlightened. I said, well, you are. So, as I say, the chakras are representing an evolution of the individual. I'm giving you a real quick trip through this, okay? As well as showing you the different parts of your consciousness and what's happening in them. What I would like to do now is take you on a trip through your chakras. Are there any questions before we do this? Anything you don't really understand yet?
I was very interested in what you said about moving from the solar plexus, sort of having a breakdown and coming through to the heart with acceptance. I was just interested to know if, having been through something like that, at another stage in your life, you could find yourself back at a lower chakra on another area or another level in your life and progress again. I mean, is it a one-way street, or can you kind of make the journey many times?
Okay. I don't see it as a one-way street, but you do get complete with something. And when you find yourself going back and forth from the solar plexus chakra to the heart chakra, you haven't totally moved into the heart chakra. There are aspects of holding on to control. It's there's usually a love story, okay? And some sense of frustration at not being able to control what's happening in that. And that's what creates the same sense of loss. So if you've been going through that a few times, it's like you haven't really resolved something there. And you've still been holding on a bit to control when you really want to relate in a different way. Okay? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. So I would like to take you now through your chakras. I'm going to bring your attention to each chakra first by asking you to feel something there. Just a sensation, just to get your attention there. By now you've got some sense of what it feels like in a particular place. Just to bring your attention there. And then I'm going to ask you to imagine a color. I'm not asking you to visualize anything. I'm just asking you to imagine a color. Is there anyone who would have difficulty if I say imagine a red tomato? That's pretty easy, right? What's the difference between imagination and visualization? If I use the word visualization, maybe half of you decide you don't know how to do that. That's the difference. So I'm just going to ask you to imagine something. I'm going to ask you to imagine a color, to have an impression of a color, and maybe you'll get an impression of the color that I mentioned. Maybe you'll get an impression of a different color, quick flash of something different. If you have an impression of a different color, just notice what it is. Don't fight with it. Don't argue with yourself. Don't beat yourself up. If I ask to see red and you see blue, that's what you see. You know, that's it. And then you'll be able to change it. After we have gone through all the chakras, if you had an impression of colors that are different than the colors that I mentioned, if you tell me at that time the colors that you saw, I'll tell you what that means to me, and then you can see how that talks to you. What if you don't see anything? Pretend you do. Make believe. Make up a story. We're working with right brain, left brain stuff. You know, in the left brain stuff, in the scientific world, they say, there is what is real and what is imagined, and therefore what is imagined is not real. But we're working in the right brain, and the right brain is about subjective senses that by their nature are subjective. It feels like we're imagining them. It feels like we're making them up. We let it feel like that, but we do not use that as a reason to invalidate our perceptions. Okay, so even if it feels like you have to make something up, see what it is that you make up. See if the impression that comes in is the color I mentioned or a different color. And it may not be as clear for you with your eyes closed as it is for you with your eyes open. That's okay. It's very unusual if it is the same. You may just get a subtle impression. Just, as I say, if you think you see nothing, make up a story. And then we'll see how that story makes sense later on. So, relax. I'm going to relax too. Ah, that's good. Okay, so first put some attention on your root chakra. Your root chakra is located at the level of your perineum. So put some attention there in front of the base of your spine. And be aware of some sensations there. Feel something there. And then decide that what you're feeling is energy. Glowing. Red. Bright, clear red. If you have an impression of a different color, just notice what it is and then release it. Change it. Make it red. How do you make it red? You can imagine that you're shining red lights on it. Or you can imagine that you're painting it red. Or you can imagine a red tomato there in your root chakra. But have a final impression of a bright, clear red ball of energy. And open to this energy, whatever that means to you. Now move your attention up about 4 inches, about 10 centimeters, to the center of your abdomen. Be aware of sensations there. Feel something there. Where you know your second chakra to be. And then decide that what you're feeling is energy. Glowing. Orange. Bright, clear orange. If you have an impression of a different color, just notice what it is and then release it. Change it. Make it orange. Bright, clear orange and open to this energy. Now move your attention to your solar plexus chakra. As you put your attention there, be aware of sensations there. Feel something there. Where you know your solar plexus chakra to be. And then decide that what you're feeling is energy. Glowing. Yellow. Bright, clear yellow. If you have an impression of another color, or if it doesn't look as bright and clear as you would like it to, release that. Change it. Make it yellow. Bright, clear yellow. And then open to this energy. Now move your attention to the center of your chest. Be aware of sensations there. Feel something there. Where you know your heart chakra to be. And then decide that what you're feeling is energy. Glowing. Green. Emerald green. If you have an impression of a different color, notice what it is. And then release it. Change it. Make it green. Emerald green. Open to this energy. Now move your attention to the base of your throat. Be aware of sensations there. Feel something there. Where you know your throat chakra to be. And then decide that what you're feeling is energy. Glowing. Blue. Sky blue. If you have an impression of a different color, just notice what it is. And then release it. Change it. Make it blue, sky blue, and open to this energy. Now move your attention to the center of your forehead. Be aware of sensations there. Feel something there. Where you know your brow chakra to be. And then decide that what you're feeling is energy. Glowing. indigo, midnight blue, the color of lapis lazuli, the color of new Levi's, indigo. If you have an impression of a different color, just notice what it is, and then release it. Change it. Make it indigo. Clear, deep indigo. And open to this energy. And now move your attention to the top of your head. Be aware of sensations there. Feel something there. Where you know your crown chakra to be. And then decide that what you're feeling is energy. Glowing. Violet. The color of amethyst. If you have an impression of a different color, just notice what it is. And then release it. Change it. Make it violet. Bright, clear, violet. Open to this energy. Notice how you feel now compared to how you felt before. If this feels better, when you open your eyes, just stay in this space. You can open your eyes when you'd like. Very different feeling in the room. Now, the next interesting question is, did you have an impression of colors different than the ones that I mentioned? If you did, then if you tell me the colors that you saw, I'll tell you what it means to me and you can see how it talks to you.
Yeah. Started off with brown. This one was the way it should be. This one was actually the yellow and the green, which was very funny. It was two at the same time.
So you had brown in the red, orange in the orange.
Yellow and green in the yellow. First pink, and then I turned it into green.
First pink in the green, and then green.
That one was normal. That one was actually the color of this one.
Violet in the indigo. Mm-hmm.
And then was white.
And white in the violet.
Sometimes it flipped into black, but it stayed white most of the time.
Okay, I'm mentioning the colors because the people who are listening to the recording, they don't know where you're pointing.
Okay.
All right, so brown in the red. If we were to mix a color with red to get that brown, what would it be?
Oh.
You're the one that saw it. What would you have to mix with red to get that color brown? Or how would you get that color brown? From what?
Earth, I don't know. It was a dark brown.
I understand. So what would it be? Like orange mixed with gray or red with yellow or what? I don't know. Just what did you see?
It was like the color of that table, but I'm not sure how to mix colors, so I don't know what I would have to do.
Okay.
Do you put black into it or?
It looks like black in there.
Okay.
So if there's black in the red,
yeah,
then black represents something suppressed. Okay, something suppressed in the area of security, and normally that's experienced as insecurity or fear. Okay, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, orange was okay. Green and the yellow. Green is the color of the heart chakra and relationship. And yellow is the color of power, control, freedom. So it's also the color of self-definition. So it says in some way, defining yourself in terms of your relationship. Does that make sense to you?
Or lack thereof. Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't have one, you're just looking for one to feel whole when you should be having your sense of personal power. This is me, this is who I am, and be able to be loved for who you are. That's a different chakra.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay, and you had pink in the green.
And there was just pink, and then I thought, because it's supposed to be green, can I flip it? And it flipped immediately, and it stayed.
Super. Pink is the color of love in motion, love being expressed. Green is the color of love as a state of being. So it says when there's pink there that somehow it has to be in motion, it has to be expressed in order for you to recognize it as love. Okay, that makes sense to you.
Yep.
And blue was okay, you had violet in the indigo.
Just violet.
Violet is the color of the father or authority in the place of spirituality. Does that make sense to you? The father or authority as a consideration, something to think about in the area of spirituality.
It doesn't make sense, but I'll think about it.
Think about it.
Yep.
The white, it represents something avoided. And so white in the violet, is that avoiding father, avoiding authority? Does that make sense to you?
It can do, but I don't know what to do with it.
No. Well, I mean, you can change your mind about something. But who was the authority in your family? Was it your mother or your father?
I would say my mother.
Okay, so this would be about your relationship with your mother as authority and missing the sense of contact with your father, I would say.
Okay.
Okay, but connecting with your father in the spirit. Okay.
I'll ask for guidance.
Okay, but that's what it represents to me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, they were generally quite clear, except this one I found hard.
The brow chakra.
I could get the colour, but I sort of had to open my eyes to get there. And then the red and the orange, I got them clear. But then they kept trying to overlap the two colours, as did the yellow and the green. You know, but then I'd separate them off. So like the orange, I was trying to imagine an orange, and then I thought, well, no, a blood orange. I kept trying to clear it.
Okay, so red in the orange.
Yeah, and a bit of orange in the red.
And a bit of orange in the red.
But it wasn't permanently like
I understand. Yeah, just coming and going. So if there was orange in the red, it's something about food or sex as a consideration for security. And red in the orange is insecurity about food or sex. Okay, talks to you?
Yeah.
Okay. And mixing the yellow and the green. Yellow is the personal power of control, freedom. It's if there's green in the yellow, as I mentioned, it's like defining yourself in terms of your relationship. But yellow in the green means solar plexus energy, power issues, control issues in the relationship. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And any other colors? You had a difficult time with spirituality.
No, it was just almost like the others. I had to really think about it, but that I didn't even have to think about it. It was just sort of there, but all the colours seemed like they were together as well. All the colours seemed like they were a bit together as well.
Okay.
And then I've had a lot of, as we did it, I had a lot of pain in my solar plexus. It was a situation that's going on in my life, and as we did it, it started up again a bit.
Okay, so that's control issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Put the sun in your solar plexus.
That's
the plexus of the sun. It's a nice
that's
meditation. The sun doesn't have to work at anything, doesn't have to assert itself, doesn't have to defend itself. It just shines, just being. There it is. Okay. Somebody behind you, you had your hand up.
In the solar plexus, there was a lot of white light, very bright.
Yes.
With yellow at the edges, but it seemed that the central thing was like the sun. It was like a white light.
Okay, so if there's white in a particular chakra, to me it represents avoiding.
Uh-huh.
So avoiding solar plexus issues, avoiding conflict, avoiding control. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And in the throat chakra, it kept going into a rainbow.
A rainbow.
A rainbow blue.
That's great. Throat chakra is about expressing. When do you see rainbows?
When do I see rainbows?
When does anybody see rainbows?
With water and with rain and sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when does that happen? Normally, after the storm. That's a nice message. Has it been a bit stormy in terms of the expression of your being?
Yes, I'm a writer, and yes.
Okay,
yes.
So there's a rainbow.
It's, yeah. That's, yeah.
Okay, somebody behind you.
Some dark blue in the throat area.
Okay, dark blue, like the indigo blue? Okay,
yes.
So if there's indigo in the light blue, something about spirituality as a consideration, something to think about in the area of expression. So I would say it's like this little judge back there who's deciding, well, I'll express it if it's spiritual, but if not, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold it back. Does that make sense to you?
Kind of.
Yeah, okay. So the throat chakra is just about expressing. It's whatever's inside, you have to get it out. And being spirit, there's nothing you can do that's not spiritual.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. It went well till at this chakra.
The brow chakra.
The brow chakra. It was very bright white, kind of diamond-like.
Okay.
And then the crown chakra was very pale white, with a little bit of pale yellow underneath.
A little pale yellow?
No, yes, pale white, but a kind of pale white, nothing to do with the white, bright diamond white from here. It was pale, and the yellow was pale around, like petals, first petals of pale yellow, and then white.
Okay, so if there was white in the indigo, what I would understand that as is, again, white is the color of something avoided. So it's something about avoiding spirituality. I would ask then about your relationship with religion, what that was like, and whether that would make sense to you. And the yellow in the violet would be solar plexus energy, you know, power control issues in relation to authority. Does that make sense to you? Does that talk to you?
I'm sorry, the you say about the brow chakra, I'm not sure I got it. Can you repeat that?
Okay.
About the brow chakra.
White is the color of avoidance. And so it's the color of avoidance in the place of spirituality. So avoiding something in relation to spirituality.
Okay, so in which sense?
Well, that's what I have ask you. So that's why I ask, what is your relationship with religion, for example?
With religion, none. Yeah. With divine, total.
That divine up there?
No, inside.
Are we talking about organized religion?
Oh, yes, organized religion. It's not for me, no.
That's what I'm talking about.
So what's the difference, what's the difference for you between this white, when I talk about white, which is, I clearly feel like diamond white. I wouldn't use this term to talk about white before, and this very pale white. It's a completely different color. One is bright and shiny, and the other one is nearly like a mist of white.
Yes, when we're talking about the crown chakra, to me that represents the deepest part of the person. If you go to the deepest part of who you are, and you experience yourself as a point of consciousness just glowing, mm-hmm. That glow is what we call white light. Some people call it clear light. It's not really light, it's not really white. But that's the closest we can come to describing it in terms of our physical senses.
Okay.
So you're relating very strongly to that, but the violet is representing not only a vertical sense of unity, if I can say so, but also a horizontal sense of unity, feeling connected with the other people around you. And so if there is yellow in the violet, mm-hmm. That's something that I would see about maybe control issues with authority, control issues mm-hmm. with father.
Mm-hmm.
But in the center of that, this clear light, which is your sense of identification with the deepest part mm-hmm. of who you are.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There were just three of them that were quite... Can you hear me?
Yes, there's a bit of a ring,
different.
But our super sound technician is adjusting
closer.
That. Okay.
Is that better?
It's okay for me.
Okay. So in the bass, I was seeing
silver, not white, but silver and blue.
Oh my God.
No, but I could change them easily.
No, it's okay. All right. When we're... Are you ready for this?
Oh, gosh.
All right. We're using the colors of the visible spectrum to represent a human walking around state of consciousness, everyday consciousness for humans. And this is... if we talk about music, we would call this an octave, but it's an octave of color rather than an octave of sound. Mm-hmm. And there are other octaves of color, and one of the other octaves is a metallic octave, where you have silver, gold, brass, bronze, etc. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what the silver is for me, what it mm-hmm. represents to me, is extraterrestrial consciousness. Does that talk to you, if you have ever felt that you're not from here?
Frequently.
Okay.
All the time.
All the time, okay. So, if I can just go back for a few minutes to this famous evolution. All right. We talk about this evolution through the chakras in terms of individual consciousness, but the same thing happens in a group consciousness. And so if we're talking about the planetary consciousness, then we can say the planetary consciousness goes through its chakras. And some people say we spend about 2,000 years in each chakra. So we're coming out of 2,000 years of the solar plexus chakra, and we're moving into what simply some people call the age of Aquarius, the age of the heart chakra, where we're learning to think beyond individual borders, which is what solar plexus is about, and more into being part of a global family. When someone is moving from the solar plexus to the heart chakra, as I say, it can seem like imminent destruction. It can seem like the world is coming to an end, just things going out of control. And if we look at the planetary consciousness, it's been a little touch and go. The planet that have already made the movement up into the beginning, at least, of the heart chakra. And there are some parts of the world that have not yet made this movement and are still working on it. Some parts of the world where it's still very much solar plexus energy. And we've developed enough power to destroy ourselves many times over. In the individual organism, if you have an infection, if there's a part of the organism that is affected in a way that threatens the organism, then the whole organism mobilizes to do something about that, right? Your lymphatic system goes into gear and things are happening all over your body to take care of this threat to the organism. When we think about higher consciousness, we're pretty chauvinistic about it. And we tend to think that higher consciousness looks like us. Right? Looks like humans, right? And maybe it does, but maybe it doesn't. And if we think about really universal consciousness, then we have to think about a bigger organism, of which planet Earth is just a little part. And planet Earth has been in trouble. It's been really on the edge a few times. So the big organism mobilizes to do something about it. And beings come, we can say, on the soul level, to help in some way. And sometimes the help is very visible, and sometimes rather invisible. You don't know the effects of what you do. You might just smile at somebody one day and change their whole day, and then they will have a positive effect on somebody else, and that will have a positive effect on somebody else. You don't know the ripples that come. So when someone is having a silver in the red, and I understand that person is perhaps not from here, then I understand also that they have come to help in some way, even though they may not be aware of it. It can be someone who has never felt a sense of connection with their mother. I take a look at that as very metaphoric, okay? And maybe not having a sense of connection with Mother Earth. And I'm seeing metaphors at every level in terms of things that happen in our lives. It's... if I can say, I'm not from here, you know, I'm here to help, to do something, and so I'm welcomed here, to do what I do in a way that's of service to society. So I might be talking about coming here from Denmark, you know, for example, to England, or I might be talking about a whole different thing. So that's what the silver and the red means to me. Does that talk to you?
Thank you. There's just two others.
Could I ask you about those as well? In the center forehead, well, that was blue, but...
The brow chakra.
But it was easy. You know, you asked to change it to indigo.
Okay, if it was blue, if it was light blue, when that should be the color of the throat chakra. Mm-hmm. So when there's that blue in any other chakra, I understand it as a hunger for that thing, a hunger for spirituality, seeking something. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
And just the last one, the crown.
Yes.
Once again, that was blue and gold, metal gold.
Gold. Mm-hmm. Okay. So blue, again, hunger for authority, hunger for father, hunger for unity. And the gold is, again, part of this metallic octave. And there are two associations that I have with gold. Mm-hmm. Gold is a color that we associate with angels. And it's also the color of a healer giving a healing when they are having no personal purpose but are just there to be their function. When we talk about angels, it's angels don't have a personal purpose. They're just there to serve humanity. That's what the whole rift was about with Lucifer. He wasn't happy about that. He was in his solar plexus chakra. And the nature of angels is to serve. That's their function. That's what they are. So when we're looking at the spectrum, the visible spectrum, as a human walking around a state of consciousness, if you look inside me, you'll see the colors. And if I'm giving someone a healing in that same state of consciousness of having no personal purpose, but just being there to see that person healed and to be my function, when you look inside me, you'll see gold. When you look inside any healer doing that with that attitude, that's gold. So some people say then perhaps that person's consciousness is elevated to the level of the angelic realms. Or maybe somebody else might say an angel is coming down and functioning through this person for the healing, but it's just the same state of consciousness. And if you see it in the crown chakra is, it's about the father, it's about authority, and it's also about what the father represents. So I see it as also representing direction, having a direction, giving a direction. If we talk about classic yin and yang as mother, father, okay, yin and yang, they're equal energies. They're both primal energies, and they're equal. And yet the nature of the yin is devotion. And so that defines something that can look hierarchical, because the energy that defines direction we call yang, and the energy that says we'll help you do it is what we define as yin. So if we associate the crown chakra with direction, then I would ask the question of you of having a sense of direction moving into the realm of healing. Does that make sense to you?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. One more.
In the base chakra, I had yellow at first, and then when it went to red, some yellow still stayed there.
Okay. So yellow is the color of power and control, and it would be power or control as a consideration, something to think about in terms of the root chakra issues of your life. Money, home, job. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to quickly go through the language, and don't try to memorize what I'm about to say. Just have a sense of how I put the words together, and you'll get a sense of what the language is about. There's only, you know, seven things to remember here. So the root chakra. Root chakra is about security. When there's a different color in the red, that's a consideration, something to think about in the area of security. So if there's orange in the red, it's food or sex as a consideration for security. Yellow in the red, power or control as a consideration, something to think about for security. Green in the red, relationship as a consideration for security. Blue in the red, remember, blue in any other chakra means hunger for that thing. Hunger for security, hunger for mother, hunger for roots. Indigo in the red is spirituality as a consideration for security. Violet in the red, it's the color of the father in the place of the mother. So I would say the father was the mother. The father was the nourishing energy. Okay, orange, Futo 6. If the red is in the orange, red in any other chakra means insecurity about that thing. So insecurity about Futo 6. Yellow in the orange. Yellow is the color of control, and orange is the color of listening to your body. So this is deciding what the body should have instead of listening to the body in terms of food or sex. Green in the orange is confusion between love and sex. In this map, they're two different things, although we get them a bit confused in society. So this one, if the person feels a physical attraction to someone, they don't feel okay about it unless they can say, I love you. Blue in the orange is hunger for food or sex. Indigo in the orange, something about spirituality that's a consideration for food or sex. Violet in the orange, something about the father or authority as a consideration for food or sex. Okay, yellow, solar plexus. Red in the yellow is insecurity about power, control, freedom. Orange in the yellow, it's something about food or sex as a consideration for power or control, or here we also talk about self-definition, how you define yourself, how you identify yourself. Green in the yellow, again, it's the relationship as a consideration in the area of power control. When I'm talking about power, I'm talking about your ability to do what you decide to do, okay, to be yourself, to have your own opinion. And when it's green in the yellow, I mean, to an extreme, it would be like, how do you feel about this, Mrs. Jones? Well, wait, I'll ask my husband. Yeah, that kind of thing. Okay. That talks to some people? Okay. All right. Blue in the yellow is hunger for power, hunger for control. Indigo in the yellow, something about spirituality as a consideration for power, control, freedom. Violet in the yellow, it's the father as a consideration in the area of power or control. So I would ask about this person's relationship with their father, whether it's a bit combative or whether they feel controlled by their father. Okay, heart chakra. Red in the green would be insecurity about relationship or love. Orange in the green, this is a different kind of confusion between love and sex. This one says sex as a consideration in the area of love. It's if you have sex with me, you love me. If you love me, you have sex with me. If you don't love me, if you don't have sex with me, you don't love me. That's, we get these mixed messages, you know, about love and sex. Sex is dirty. Save it for the one you love. Why should you save something dirty for the one you love? I don't know. That's very confusing. Okay. Okay. Yellow in the green. So yellow is solar plexus energy, power or control issues in the area of relationships. Blue in the green, hunger for love, hunger for relationship. Indigo in the green, spirituality as a consideration for in the area of relationships. And violet in the green, something about the father or authority as a consideration in the area of relationships. Now, blue is the color that the throat chakra is what I associate with abundance and having. It has to do with expressing, but it also has to do with receiving unconditionally. When I associate it with abundance, the idea is that we live in an abundant universe. In order to be able to feel comfortable to be in this abundant universe, we have to also be willing to receive unconditionally. The heart is about giving unconditionally. Throat is about receiving unconditionally. So when there is a different color in the blue, I see it as something, a consideration that keeps the person from having. Okay, so if it's red in the blue, we can say it's insecurity about expressing, but that keeps the person from having. You know, it's like ask and you shall receive. Don't ask, you get nada. Okay. Orange in the blue, what keeps the person from having is something about food or sex. Yellow in the blue, what keeps the person from having is solar plexus energy, maybe power issues, control issues, freedom issues. Green in the blue, what keeps the person from having is the way they express their love. The throat chakra is about expressing. It's about you expressing your goals, what you want. And when there's green there, instead of setting goals about what you want, you set goals about what somebody else wants or what you think somebody else wants. That would be green in the blue. So it's self-sacrifice as an expression of love. indigo in the blue, what keeps the person from having is something about spirituality. And violet in the blue, what keeps the person from having is something about the father or authority. Indigo, spirituality. If the red is in the indigo, we can say insecurity about spirituality, but also remember that the red is the color of the physical body, and the indigo is the color of the spirit. So when there's red in the indigo, I understand that as the person identifying themselves as their physical body rather than the spirit inside the body. Orange in the indigo, something about food or sex as a consideration in the area of spirituality. Yellow in the indigo is solar plexus energy, something about power or control in the place of spirituality. Green in the indigo is something about love or relationships as a consideration in the area of spirituality. Blue in the indigo is hunger for spirituality. Violet in the indigo, normally, it's the father as a consideration in the area of spirituality or a sense of confusion between unity and spirituality, okay? Because for me, the spiritual level of our being is a level where you attract to yourself according to what you put in your consciousness. The pictures that you put in your mind happen. You attract to yourself according to your desires, according to your fears, according to your beliefs. You're a magnet attracting a certain quality of experience. And everybody else is doing the same thing with their beliefs and their desires and their fears, okay? And it's not really about unity. We can talk about some people who are spiritually very evolved who are just absolutely closed at the level of the crown chakra. We consider the crown chakra and the brow chakra as both in the spiritual realms, but there is a distinction where the brow chakra is about, for me, the dynamics of co-creation, and the crown chakra is about unity. Now, unity can mean a couple of different things. Unity can mean maybe there are not, 80 people here. Maybe there's one being with 160 eyes. Okay, and I'm part of that being, and you're part of that being, and we can have a sense of connectedness in some way while still recognizing the individual aspects of our being. We can say, I'm part of this organism, I'm a fingernail, and you're a nose, and she's a toe, and, you know, and the way to serve the organism is to fully be that part. So we can see a sense of unity there. There it would be, I would say, a combination of the crown chakra with the brow chakra. In the crown chakra, the aspect to me is empathy, and empathy is experiencing another person's experience as if you're inside them, being them, okay, as one aspect of unity. It's one, it's just really being one. Or going to the deepest part of yourself where you're a single point of consciousness watching a movie that's all a projection for your own interests and a dream that you're dreaming, if you wish, where you're walking through your dream, and while all of this seems to be outside you, you know the projector is inside there. And at some point, you can say, if I'm dreaming all of this, then I'm creating this person, this person, this person, and they're a creation of my consciousness. So you feel connected with them. And that would be more at the level of the crown chakra. At the brow chakra, you would see them more as the individual manifestation of consciousness that they are, as you are an individualized consciousness. Crown chakra, the crown chakra. So when there's red in the violet, then I would say the mother was the father. The mother was the directing energy. And that implies a kind of gender confusion, I would say, where it's not quite clear to the person what is the yang and what is yin. Okay. Orange in the violet is something about food or sex as a consideration for unity or the father or authority. Yellow in the violet is solar plexus energy and power or control issues in relation to authority. Green in the violet, something about love or relationship as a consideration for authority or the father. Blue in the violet is hunger for authority, hunger for father. And indigo in the violet would be spirituality as a consideration for unity or the father or authority. When we're working with the colors, as I'm working with them in healing, for me, this is a model of wholeness. And what that means is by definition, if this is the model of wholeness, if this is the model of integrity, when I'm looking inside somebody and I'm seeing colors that are different than this, that represents something out of balance. So we might look inside ourselves and we might see colors that are just gorgeous. We say, but it's so beautiful, it's great, let's leave it there. And I would say, well, you can leave it there, it's okay, but it's not optimal. It's not your ideal state of balance if we accept that this is the model of wholeness. There are some models which have different colors in different places. And then we would say, well, you know, who's right? Who's wrong? How do we know? And I say, well, the key comes down again to this being a logical and orderly sequence of vibrations. And if you move around any colors from here, put them anywhere else, it's no longer a logical and orderly sequence. The longest wavelength has to be on the bottom. The shortest wavelength has to be on the top. You read something by Leadbeater, for example, and Leadbeater was saying, well, the colors are red, orange, green, yellow, blue, indigo, and violet. How can we understand that? You know, we know Leadbeater was a gifted psychic. You know, so he looked inside and he saw his chakras. He said, hey, these are chakras. I got chakras. You got chakras. Your chakras must look like my chakras. Okay, so I had to sort all this stuff out just to get it clear for myself. So in fact, he didn't recognize the possibility of something that could be out of balance. Again, when you're in a particular place, you're in this bubble, you're in this perceptual filter where it looks like everybody else is the same as you. You know, you're in this bubble and the inside of the bubble is a mirror. And so then I could understand why there were so many different systems and how they were made up by people who were just, in fact, defining themselves and where they are. Leadbeater isn't around now, so it's there's not an option to ask him about what's happening in the area of relationships, you know, unless then I have to go to somebody else here at the college because that's not my area of specialty. Et voila. Any questions, please? Yes.
There's been talk about this
microphone.
Yeah, about the eighth chakra.
The eighth chakra.
Or the other ones, or the other three, but yes. The eighth and 2012. Yes. And how does that fit in with all of this?
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's a different, you know, I have to, let's say you say to me, I want to see a map of London. I say, well, I got a map of London. Now, do you want a population density map, or do you want a bus map, or a train map, or a topographical map, or an air traffic control map? They're different maps, and they're showing different things. And for me, what I'm looking at is my main area of focus, my main interest is healing and the body-mind relationship. And for me, then, each chakra has certain associations. Each chakra is associated with an element. Each chakra is associated with certain parts of the body, certain functions within the body, certain color, and a certain sound. Okay, and a certain state of consciousness. They're very specific things that they all have. And when someone talks about an eighth chakra, transpersonal chakra, and another chakra, they're no longer talking about the body-mind relationship. And they're no longer talking about human walking around state of consciousness. I don't say they're invalid. I just say it's a different map, and it has a different purpose and a different reason. So I don't work with them. I think some of them are misunderstandings. When people talk about a transpersonal chakra, for example, I know that at the level of the brow chakra, when your attention is there, when your consciousness is at the level of the brow chakra, you are the observer, you're the witness, you're standing 1 meter behind yourself, observing yourself, you're aware of your motivations, you're aware of your outer theater, you're seeing your outer theater from another place, and it's what I associate with the brow chakra. So maybe some people who see it like that don't understand it in relation to the brow chakra, and then they decide there must be an eighth chakra, okay? And there are other structures. They talk about ninth dimension and tenth dimension. In this map that I'm using, this is the deepest part of who you are, the crown chakra, at the level of the soul, where you are a single point of consciousness, And within certain traditions, when we talk about being the only consciousness that's watching a dream that you're dreaming, a movie of light and shadow that you're playing for your own purposes, we're talking about the state of consciousness that people know as God consciousness. So is there something higher? Maybe. Maybe what we know of as God is just one of a race of beings, and maybe there's another, you know. But for me, the crown chakra is about God consciousness. And so this is the structure that talks to me the most.
Yeah, maybe it's just another part of God consciousness, like another room in a house.
Maybe it's another part of the consciousness. Maybe it's like, people who are doing soul travel for the purpose of healing, and they want to define the map as travel outside the body, and they relate that as different planes. For me, this is my language. It's, I think, chakras. So if they describe those planes, for me, I translate that into what does it mean to me in terms of chakras. And for me, each chakra is not one, it's not one element. Just as consciousness is divided into seven chakras, I see it as each chakra also divided into different parts. So one part is physical, one part is emotional, one part is mental, and they all have their associations. And I haven't completed that map, but that's the way I understand the concept. So when people are talking about their travels out of the body, that's what I would translate it into. Yeah. Understanding that they may also see me as very limited in my perspective. Okay.
There's one more question.
One more question.
It's actually a kind of twofold question. One of them is, if you consistently find different colors where they shouldn't be, is there some kind of DIY kit, some kind of daily exercises or something the person can do? Because it's not a hat thing that you decide it has to be orange now and it will stay orange, you know? And the second part of the question is, if you feel that you're coming towards the end of a task, like, for example, at some point your yellow quite nicely separates from your green, but suddenly there's like trouble or something new emerging somewhere else, is there again some kind of adjustment the person can make to sort of adjust to the new task, because maybe the old exercises aren't good anymore, that kind of a thing?
I'm not sure exactly what you're asking there.
Okay.
In terms of a daily exercise,
yeah,
you can, for example, do the exercise that we did, going through your chakras and seeing what's there.
Mm.
And if it's not the color it should be, putting the correct color in there. And in fact, that's an exercise that I do with one of my guided meditations. It's called Healing Vibrations, where during the meditation you surround yourself with a particular color, and if it's not what it should be, you make it the way it should be.
Okay.
And the music that is played on that, it's a musical accompaniment, is sitar music by a master of Nadi Yoga, where he plays music that vibrates that chakra at the same time that you're imagining the color. So you're using different aspects of vibration. But the important thing to remember whenever you're doing any kind of meditation or any kind of adjustment in your chakras is that your chakras are just parts of your consciousness. And so if you're in a certain state of consciousness, let's say thinking about food or sex, let's say, okay? And he's talking about me again, okay. And you say, well, okay, I recognize that I'm not clear in this area, so I'm going to put orange in my orange and make it real clear. And you have to recognize that it's in your consciousness. And if your consciousness has not been clear and you're doing something to clear that part of your consciousness, you have to change your consciousness. Something has to change. Some idea has to change. Something has to look different to you without this filter of tensions. So whatever you do, you can do this meditation by yourself that we did earlier, or use a guided meditation, but you have to allow the changes to happen in your consciousness. And then at the end of the meditation, you don't decide, now I go back into the state I was before I began the meditation, because you're then stepping backwards. You're in a new space. You're in a clear space. So you open your eyes and you say, here I am now. I don't know anything. I don't know what's what. I have to look and see how things make sense to me now. It's the same thing that you do after you have received the healing. Okay?
That answers the second part of my question once it has changed. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much. It's given me a lot to think about, and I'm sure everybody else.